Okay, so, digital competence, right? It's like everywhere these days.
Everywhere you turn, yeah.
You see those articles, the job postings, you hear it like in work meetings and stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it just feels like everybody else already gets it,
Yeah.
Like they're fluent in this like secret digital
Yeah,
language.
it's easy to feel that
And
way.
you're just like, wait.
Like you're behind or
Yeah,
something.
exactly. So we're doing a deep dive on that today, trying to unpack this whole digital competence thing.
That's a big one.
It is a big one, right? And to help us out, we've got this really interesting paper by Michael Kares.
Yeah, he really digs into this idea.
He does. And one of the things I like that he points out right away is how digital competence, well, it's kind of a moving target, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. I mean, if you think back to like even just a few years ago, everybody was talking about media
Oh,
literacy.
totally. Like understanding how TV and newspapers worked and all that.
Exactly. Being able to spot bias in the news, those kinds of things.
And it seems almost silly now, doesn't it?
It does in a way, right?
Yeah.
He makes this point that the digital world, it's just exploded since then. Like it's not just a few TV channels anymore.
It's everything.
It's like a million TV channels and websites and social media.
And we're not just watching it anymore either. We're creating it, we're sharing it.
Exactly. We're part of it now.
And so this idea that there's like one digital competence that covers it all.
It kind of falls apart.
It does, doesn't it? Because how could you possibly be competent in everything digital?
Right. It would be like, I don't know, trying to eat every meal with a spoon.
Okay, yeah. Like, sure, it works for soup, but good luck with a steak. You need the right tool for the job, right?
That's a good analogy.
And Kares, he really emphasizes that point. He says instead of this big, vague digital competence, we should be thinking about the specific digital skills that we need.
In different parts of our lives, right?
Exactly.
And he actually breaks it down, which I thought was super helpful. He's got this whole section where he talks about four main areas of digital
He
competencies,
does, and he gives examples for each one.
which is great. So, like, the first one he talks about is information and knowledge.
Which, sounds pretty basic.
It does, but when you really think about
It's a lot more than it seems.
it is, because it's not just about, like, Googling something anymore.
Right. It's about knowing how to find information online that's
Yeah.
actually reliable,
Yep.
and then knowing how to evaluate it,
Yes, how to tell if something's biased or even if it's just completely fake.
which is huge because there's so much information out there now,
Oh,
and
it's overwhelming.
it really is.
And it's only going to get, more
Oh,
so.
absolutely. So information and knowledge, that's like the foundation,
For
right?
sure.
But then it gets even more interesting because he also talks about the social side of digital life.
Which is so important because it's not just about us as individuals, is it?
No, not at all.
It's about how we connect with each other online.
And he calls that one articulation and personality,
He
right?
does, and I love that because it really gets at how we present ourselves online, like how
Yeah.
we communicate who we are.
It makes you think about your own online presence, right? Like, what are you putting out there? How are you coming across?
Totally. And it's not always easy to get it right, is it?
No. Because communicating through a screen is so different than face to face.
Yeah.
It's like there's this whole other layer
Tom
of,
Hanks.
yes.
Yeah.
And then there are the relationships themselves, like online friendships and.
Oh, yeah. The good, the bad, and the ugly of online relationships.
Right. Because those can be just as real and just as messy as offline ones.
Oh, absolutely.
And then on top of that, he's got this other category, social interaction and participation.
Right. Which I think is really where it hits home for a lot of people.
Because it's about the bigger picture, isn't it?
Yeah. Like it's easy to get caught up in our own little online bubbles, scrolling through our feeds and everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But this area, it's about how our digital lives impact the world around us,
So how we connect with other people online, how we engage in discussions, how we participate in movements, all of that.
Exactly. And how we use our voices online responsibly, because that's a big one too.
It is, yeah. It's like that old saying, if you wouldn't say it to someone's face.
Maybe don't post it online.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly.
And then finally, he gets to the tech stuff, which seems kind of funny. Like you'd think that's where he would start, but
But he saves it for last.
he does. And I think it's smart because it shows
It's
that,
not just about the tools,
right,
right?
it's about how we use them.
And he calls this area digital tech and media.
Yeah. And of course, there are the basics, like knowing your way around different software programs and all of that.
Being able to like actually use the internet and set.
Exactly. But it goes deeper than that too.
Because you have to understand how things work, right?
Right.
Like those algorithms everyone's always talking
Oh,
about.
yeah, the
Like,
algorithms.
how do they even work? And how do they affect what we see online?
And how can we use that knowledge to our advantage? You know what I mean?
I think so. Can you give an example?
Well, like, have you ever noticed how, like, social media just seems to know what you're interested in? Like, it's reading your mind.
Oh, yeah. All the time. It's kind of creepy, actually.
It is a little bit, right. But that's algorithms at work.
It is.
Yeah. They're tracking everything you do online, what you click on, what you search for.
So they can show you more of what they think you want to see.
Exactly. Or, like, remember that time we were talking about those shoes, and then the next day you saw an ad for them?
Oh, my God, yes. That happens to me all the time.
That's algorithms, too.
That is both amazing and terrifying.
It is, isn't it? But it just goes to show, like, we can't just be passive users of technology anymore.
We have to understand how it works.
Exactly. And this is actually where Karis's work gets even more interesting, because he talks about the challenges of teaching all of this.
Yeah, because how do you even begin to teach digital competence?
Right. It's tough. Because our education system, it's not really set up for this, is it?
No, not really.
It's like, I don't know, imagine trying to teach someone how to use a hammer, but you never give them any wood or nails.
Okay, yeah.
You might learn how to hold the hammer and how to swing it, but they'll never really understand what it's actually for.
You have to give them something to build.
Precisely. And I think that's what Karis is getting at with this whole digital competence thing. It's not enough to just teach the skills in isolation, you know?
You have to connect them to something real.
Exactly. Which is why I think this next idea he talks about is so fascinating.
Post-digital thinking,
yeah,
right.
That's the one. What do you think of when you hear that term? Post-digital. Sounds kind of futuristic, doesn't it?
It does. Like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
It does kind of make you wonder, like, what comes after digital, you know?
Yeah, it's like we're already so immersed in it. What's next? But I think what Karis is getting at is that digital itself is going to become less of a separate thing.
Like it's not going to be this big special category anymore.
Exactly. Remember when we used to talk about, like, cyberspace?
Yeah, like it was some kind of separate world.
Right. But we don't really say that anymore, do we? Because it's not separate. It's all just life.
It's all connected.
Right. And I think that's what's going to happen with digital in general. It's just going to become so integrated, so ordinary.
That we don't even think about it anymore.
Exactly. It'll just be the water we swim in, so to speak.
So in this post-digital world, then what? Like, what does digital competence even mean then?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's interesting because Karis doesn't really give us a straight answer.
He leaves it open-ended.
He does. He says, you know, if everyone is assumed to be digitally fluent, what skills are going to be most important then?
Which is such a good question. Like, what comes after basic digital literacy?
Right. And I think it really gets us thinking about the higher level skills. You know, like, it's not just about knowing how to use the tools anymore.
It's about what you do with the tools, right?
Exactly. It's about being able to think critically about all the information that's coming at us, to be able to communicate effectively and build meaningful connections online.
And to be able to use these tools to actually make a difference in the world, right?
Absolutely. And to do it all ethically and responsibly, which is more important than ever.
For sure. Okay, so we've talked about information and knowledge, articulation and personality, social interaction and participation.
And last but not least, we got to talk about the tools themselves.
The digital tech and media.
That's the one. And, you know, it's funny because this one might seem the most straightforward, but
it's actually pretty complex.
It is, because it's not just about knowing how to use a computer or a smartphone.
Right. It's about understanding how they work and how they're shaping our world.
Exactly. It's about being able to use these tools in creative and innovative ways.
And to be able to adapt as new technologies emerge, which is happening all the time.
Constantly. Like, it's hard to even keep up with it all sometimes.
It really is.
Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of the point, right? Like, we're never going to be done learning in this digital world.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process. And I think that's what Karis really wants us to take away from all of this.
That we need to be active learners, always curious, always adapting.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole conversation so fascinating, because it's not just about the technology itself.
It's about what it means to be human in a digital age.
Now you're talking. That's the big picture right there.
And that's something we're going to have to keep grappling with as we move further into this post-digital future. Okay, post-digital thinking. That sounds like something straight out of a science fiction novel.
It does have a certain futuristic ring to it, doesn't it? But it's actually a really interesting way of looking at where we're headed. Think of it this way. Remember when having a mobile phone was a big deal? Now it's just your phone. We don't even think about it as this separate category of mobile technology anymore.
It's just integrated into our lives.
Exactly. And that's what Kara suggests is happening with digital as a whole. It's becoming so woven into the fabric of our world that it'll eventually become less of a separate thing and more like, well, just another aspect of life.
So in this post-digital world, what does digital competence even mean? If it's everywhere, isn't everyone just digitally competent by default?
That's the million-dollar question. Kara leaves us with this really thought-provoking idea. If everyone is assumed to be digitally fluent, what new skills and competencies will become most valuable?
That is a fascinating question.
Yeah.
What does come after basic digital literacy? It's like we're talking about graduating to a whole new level of thinking beyond just using the tools.
Right. It could be about the ability to think critically about the information we're bombarded with, to empathize and collaborate effectively in online spaces, or to design and innovate using technology in ethical and responsible ways.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. So if we connect all of this back to our own lives, where do we even start?
Kara leaves us with another great question, one that I think we should all ask ourselves. If you could design the perfect digital literacy education for yourself, what would it include?
What a powerful question to end on. It's like he's handing us the keys to our own digital education, encouraging us to be active participants instead of just passive consumers.
Exactly. It's about moving beyond any fear or overwhelm and approaching the digital world with curiosity, intentionality, and a healthy dose of critical thinking. And remember, you don't have to do it alone. There are tons of resources, communities, and mentors out there who can support you on this journey.
So there you have it, our deep dive into the messy, fascinating, and always evolving world of digital competence. The key takeaway: ditch the one-size-fits-all approach and focus on the specific digital skills that matter most to you.
It's about being an active participant in your digital journey. Identify what you want to achieve, find the tools and skills that will help you get there, and never be afraid to ask questions, explore new possibilities, and keep learning. Because the most important skill of all is the ability to adapt and evolve right alongside this ever-changing digital landscape.
And who knows? You might just end up shaping the future of the post-digital world yourself.